Welcome to episode 14 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. You can find Everybody ESL in the Apple iTunes Store and on the Stitcher app. Now, this works with Android phones, iPhones, everything. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and leave us a good review. I'm Ben, and I've got a lot of good stuff for you in this episode. A lesson about grammar, small talk, some vocabulary, a listening quiz, the joke of the week, and more. And before we get to it, I need to announce the winner of the episode 13 contest. It's Daniel from Russia for his sentence that uses the idiom on the back burner. And his sentence was, "When I was fired from my job, I had to put my dreams on the back burner." It's a sad sentence, but it's a good sentence. If you have any questions about anything you hear in this episode, or anything that we've talked about in previous episodes, or anything from an ESL class you might be taking, or any questions about English, please send them to me at everybodyesl@gmail.com. Now let's get on with this episode. Today's grammar topic is a difficult one. Today's topic is phrasal verbs. Why did I play that scream sound? Well, phrasal verbs are a little bit scary, because phrasal verbs are difficult. Do you know what phrasal verbs are? I think you do, even if you don't know that term. Phrasal verbs are like compound verbs. They're verbs that are made of two parts, a verb and a preposition. Maybe you've heard the phrasal verb to put off. That means to postpone something or to delay it. So why do I say that phrasal verbs are so difficult and so scary? The reason I think they're so difficult is because they look simple. They're often made of very common verbs, like put, go, take, come, verbs that you hear and use every day. And they're made from simple prepositions. The problem is, phrasal verbs are like mini idioms. Remember, an idiom is an expression that you just have to learn as one whole piece. You can't figure out the meaning of an idiom by looking at all of its parts. You just need to memorize it as one big piece. And that's also how it works with phrasal verbs. You need to memorize them as almost like little idioms. So they're very deceptive, they're tricky, they can fool you. They look simple, they look easy to figure out and understand, but they're not. I think usually they're impossible to figure out. Let me give you an example, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Have you heard the phrasal verb to take to take to someone? Oh, I really took to him. Or, the boss really took to the new employee. What does it mean to take to somebody? Well, it does not have anything to do with taking. It means to develop positive feelings for somebody, to start to admire somebody, or to start to love somebody, or to start to feel affection for somebody. What does that have to do with taking? Nothing that I can see. So, phrasal verbs look very simple, but they're not. You really have to think of phrasal verbs as complex verbs, as verbs made up of two separate pieces, a verb and a preposition. And there are many phrasal verbs, and they're very common. People use them all the time in conversation. There are hundreds of phrasal verbs. I don't know, maybe there are even thousands of them. Now, you don't need to know every single phrasal verb, of course. Just like you don't need to know every regular verb, or every noun, or every adjective. But the more phrasal verbs you know, the more fluent your English will be. Because phrasal verbs are very common, you will hear them a lot, you will read them a lot, and the more you know, the better. I recommend that you find a list of phrasal verbs. You can find a list on the internet. Search for English phrasal verbs or phrasal verb list. Phrasal, by the way, is P-H-R-A-S-A-L, phrasal. So search for a list of phrasal verbs and see how many of them you can learn. And coming up is a vocabulary list based on phrasal verbs. This episode's vocabulary list is all about phrasal verbs. I'm going to introduce 8 different phrasal verbs, all based on the word go, all based on one of the most common words in all of English. Maybe you know some of these, and maybe you don't. There might be some surprises. The first one on our list is go ahead. Do you know what go ahead means? Go ahead means to continue. You might say to your friend, go ahead, tell me the story about what happened at work today. In other words, continue, keep going. The next one has several different meanings, and it's go for, to go for something, or to go for someone. It can mean to try to accomplish something. I think next year I'm going to go for a master's degree. I think next year I will try to achieve a master's degree, or I will start a master's degree program. Go for can also mean to like or prefer something. You might say, I don't usually go for horror movies. I like comedies. I don't usually go for horror movies. Go for can also just mean to want something. Oh, on a hot day, I could really go for a bowl of ice cream. The next phrasal verb based on go is to go along with. That means to agree with somebody or something. Oh, you want to go hiking this weekend? No, I can't go along with that. That's not a good idea. I don't want to do that. The next one is to go into. That means to discuss something in detail. Maybe something embarrassing happened to you, and your friend is asking you to tell him about it. And you say, I don't want to go into it. That means I don't want to talk about it in any detail. Let's just move on to something else. What about to go off? Well, this can mean more than one thing, but it often means to explode. So a bomb goes off. And a person can go off too, and that usually means the person loses control. I think it's related to the idea of exploding. And then there's to go on, and that means to happen or to keep happening. Maybe the people who live in the apartment above you are having a loud party, and you ask, how long will this party go on? How long will this party keep happening? What about to go over? To go over something, it means to review something. Maybe you have an important document to read at work, so you have to set aside time to go over it, to review it, to look at it carefully. What about to go with? To go with something, it means to work well with something, to work well together. I happen to think that peanut butter goes well with chocolate. Peanut butter and chocolate work well together. But peanut butter does not go with tomatoes. That's not a good combination, if you ask me. So those are just a few common and very handy phrasal verbs based on to go. And like I've said before, and I'm sure I will say it again, there are many, many phrasal verbs. Many of them are very common. You will hear them and read them very often. So it's a good idea to learn as many of them as you can. This episode's small talk topic might not really be an example of small talk, but it is an example of talking with a stranger, and you might need to know the most polite way to talk in this kind of situation. And the situation is, somebody has called you on your phone, but they have called the wrong number. They think they're calling somebody else, but they have called you by accident. So, what do you do? Somebody calls, you pick up the phone, you say, "Hello?" And they say, yeah, is Steve there?" And you're not Steve, so what do you say? Well, you can just say, "No, I'm not Steve," and hang up the phone. But that's certainly not very polite, and I know that you would rather be polite with everybody, even strangers you will never see or even meet. So the thing you say is, "I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number." I've mentioned it before in other small talk lessons, but you can see all of the kind of strange, polite speech that sometimes good manners require us to use. First of all, it's common for us to apologize in this situation. Well, somebody called you, they made a mistake, but it's polite for you to say, "I'm sorry," as though you did something wrong by not being Steve. So we say, "I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number." Even though we don't think they have the wrong number, we know they have the wrong number. You are not Steve. The person called the wrong number. They dialed the phone incorrectly. So you say, "I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number." And the other person, if he or she is a polite person, will say, "Oh, I apologize," or something like that. "Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Goodbye." And then you can hang up, knowing that you have acted in a very polite and respectful way. So, to review, person calls you, you say, "Hello?" And the person says, "Yeah, is Steve there? Can I talk to Steve?" And then you say, "I'm sorry, I think you have the wrong number." And then you can also add, "There's no Steve here. Goodbye." And that's all there is to it. Very simple. And now it's time for the joke of the week. Everybody's favorite part of the podcast, unless maybe it's nobody's favorite part of the podcast. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to present a joke that's not very funny, but might show us something interesting about English. And this episode's joke goes like this. What did the scarf say to the hat? What did the scarf say to the hat? The scarf said to the hat, "You go on ahead, I'll hang around here." Okay, why is that a joke? What's supposed to be funny about that? Well, I don't know if you noticed, but this joke depends on phrasal verbs. Because, as we talked about earlier in this episode, to go on means to continue. So the scarf is saying to the hat, "You go on ahead." In other words, you keep going. You continue going. "You go on ahead" also means you go on top of someone's head, like a hat goes on someone's head. So the scarf is saying, "You go on ahead," which means two things. You keep going. Keep going wherever you're going. You keep going. Or, hey, you go onto someone's head. That's what a hat does. And then the scarf continues, "I'll hang around here." Well, that's another phrasal verb. To hang around can mean to stay where you are, to stay in the same place, doing not much. To hang around the house all day means to stay at home, doing very little. And of course, to hang around can also mean to hang around something, like a scarf. A scarf hangs around your neck. So when the scarf says, you go on ahead and I'll hang around here, there's a double meaning, or two double meanings. You go on ahead meaning you should continue in the direction you were going, and you go onto someone's head. That's where you belong. And I'll hang around here meaning I will just stay where I am, or I will hang where I am. Well, that's the joke of the week. Not a great joke, but I think it's interesting because it does show us something interesting about English. In this case, it lets us look at some phrasal verbs. And this week's contest is also about jokes. If you are the first person to send me an English joke, you will be the champion of episode 14. So send me your joke. Send it to everybodyesl@gmail.com. And now it's time for this episode's listening quiz. I will read a short passage two times. The first time, I will read it pretty quickly, at a normal conversational speed. And the second time, I will read it more slowly, and it might be easier to understand everything that way. When I'm done, I will ask five questions so you can see how much of the story you understood. Okay, here we go. Today is a big day. There's a big sale at the electronics store, and Nicholas is excited. He has been waiting for this day for more than a month. He has a part-time job after school. He works as a dishwasher in a coffee shop, and he has been saving every penny he can. When the alarm clock goes off at 7 a.m, Nicholas jumps out of bed. He rides his bike to the store and gets there by 7:25. When he arrives, there's already a big line. He's a little worried that all the video game consoles will be sold by the time he gets inside. But he's been thinking about this video game console ever since he played with it at a friend's house. He really wants to buy it today, and he knows he'll be disappointed if he isn't able to. Finally, it's time for the sale to begin, and the doors open. Okay, how was that? Was that a little too fast? Was it hard to keep up? Let's try it again, this time at a slower speed. Today is a big day. There's a big sale at the electronics store, and Nicholas is excited. He has been waiting for this day for more than a month. He has a part-time job after school. He works as a dishwasher in a coffee shop, and he has been saving every penny he can. When the alarm clock goes off at 7 a.m, Nicholas jumps out of bed. He rides his bike to the store and gets there by 7:25. When he arrives, there's already a big line. He's a little worried that all the video game consoles will be sold by the time he gets inside. But he's been thinking about this video game console ever since he played with it at his friend's house. He really wants to buy it today, and he knows he'll be disappointed if he isn't able to. Finally, it's time for the sale to begin, and the doors open. How was it that time? Was it a little bit easier? Well, let's see how you do with the five questions. Question number one. Why is Nicholas excited? Question two. What does Nicholas want to buy? Question three. Where does Nicholas work at his after-school job? Question 4. What does Nicholas do at his job? And question 5. Where did Nicholas play with the thing he wants to buy? Okay, time for the answers. If you need to think about this a little bit more or listen to the questions again, just hit pause and come back when you're ready. Okay, here are the answers. Number one, why is Nicholas excited? He's excited because today is the day of the big sale at the electronics store. Number two, what does Nicholas want to buy? He wants to buy a video game console. Like a video game player, a video game machine. Number three, where does Nicholas work at his after-school job? Nicholas works in a coffee shop. Number four, what does Nicholas do at his job? He is a dishwasher. He washes dishes. And number five, where did Nicholas play with the thing he wants to buy? He played with the video game console at his friend's house. Okay, how did you do? We've reached the end of episode 14 of Everybody ESL. I hope you learned a lot. I hope this gave you a lot of good things to think about and practice. Remember, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back in a few days with a mini episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.